You're the only hope we have, the lifter of our heads.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. We talked about the miracle, the first of the miracles Jesus have performed in the second chapter of Gospel of John. So we read this last time. Again, I will read it again. There was a wedding in the place called Cana of Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples were invited. There in second chapter, verse 1 onwards, you can read this. And then there was not enough of the wine, it ran out, as Jesus' mother was also there as a guest. And there, as the wine ran out, Jesus' mom come to Jesus and said, they have no more wine. So this is interesting, that why Jesus' mom comes and telling Jesus about it. You see, this is telling us that his mother had some miraculous faith in her, that she knew that Christ Jesus was the Son of God. She knew Jesus was Christ from the things happened from her childhood, his childhood. There were many miracles and many prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus. His birth was forecalled from Genesis 3:15, the woman's son. And Mary know that she had no connection with any man, even Joseph, her to-be husband, which was betrothed to be married, who had no physical relationship with him. And then the angel of the Lord, the Gabriel, comes and visited her. She was kind of surprised, and she says, "What kind of a greeting?" And when Gabriel greeted her, and there was this great faith fell on Mary, that Mary believed what the angel said and accepted, and she was covered, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and she received the spiritual entry of Jesus, you know, as a seed entered into her womb, and she conceived. See, the Lord Jesus from heaven, who was with God as the God's own son, as he becoming. Now, in my suggestion, I will say, Jesus was equal to Father until that time as he stepped down to be a human form. Praise God. I'll explain this to you again. But now I wanted to talk about the miracle of the wine. See, many preachers over the many years, ever since my childhood, I listened to this type of messages. The miracles of Jesus. How did he does something what he does? And as Mary's faith was in her son, even though her son, that she knew he is the Son of God. She is not anybody else's son. As I explained before, Mary's relationship, nothing, no relationship, no physical relationship with any human being, any man, in order to get conceived. But she was engulfed with the Holy Ghost of God, and she believed that she will receive the Son of God in her. That moment, I believe, she received Christ entering into her womb. That is how he took the birth. That is how Jesus took as a human birth. Praise the Lord. I will speak about his deity and godly position before that he had in a few minutes. Now Jesus says to her, "Dear woman." See, the way Jesus addressed her, "Dear woman," she did not, Jesus never shows in the scriptures that calling her mom. She is her earthly mother. She is the vessel that Jesus used, God used to send his son. And she was pregnant as 9 months as everybody else, and Jesus was born the same way a human child will born, but in poverty, in a shortage of daily things and needs, a place to be born, that Jesus took the very humblest, poorest position in the human line. Now she says, "Why do you involve me with this?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." You see, now Jesus is saying, "Woman, why do you involve with me?" So which means, what is that you have, why you are telling me? What is the reason why you telling me about it rather than you telling the owner of the wedding or the house or the bridegroom? So we understood that Mary had a faith in Jesus as he is the Christ, and he can do what he wants to do. Now, Christ himself is saying to her, "What do you involve this with me?" You know, which means, do we have anything? Do I have anything to do with you in this relationship? And my time has not yet come, which means, he is saying, the time that he has to go to the cross to perform his mission for humanity has not yet arrived. That means I have plenty of time right now. I am available. I can do whatever God wants me to do. And I do have the power, but there is nothing that in you need to come and recommend me, so that people see you are my mother. See, it's not because of the relationship as a human with you, but because I have the time to do it. Now, his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." You see, now, even after Jesus say like that, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, has very strong faith in him. And he ordered the servants to do whatever he says to do. There he goes. People fill the water with all those, stone vessels, stone water jars. And this water jars, interesting to me, that water jars were not used for drinking purpose. They were used for ceremonial washing. See, what is ceremonial washing? That Jews used to have this tradition of washing their feet and hands as they entering in any house because of the dust or anything on their feet where they were wearing sandals and they wanted to be clean. This was a tradition of washing the feet and the hands. And usually the house, owners of the house, with respectfully, they have poured water on people's hands and feet. This was the Middle Eastern custom, and sometimes they do follow even today. But some of the times that people wear shoes, nowadays, they don't probably need to wash their feet. Now, but they still wash their hands. Now, why would God use something which was used for a lower level purpose? That water was not used for drinking purpose. But that telling you, the Lord can use even something heinous, something low, something lower in standard for his glory. He can use it for his glorious purpose. And this was not informed to the wedding party or anybody, the owner of the master of the wedding or anyone. But this miracle was performed. As the water was filled, it turned into wine. Jesus didn't even say a thing. This was just happening as he commands, fill with water. The men of servants of there, not even questioning. In those washing pots, the pots used for washing purpose, why in the world that you want to use that? Why don't you tell to bring some really good containers out here? But they are not even questioning him, because there is a power of God over the command of Jesus. Jesus commands, they just obeyed. And there was no time in between the command and their faith. They commanded as Jesus commands, the faith increases, it happens, the things happen right away. So what that tells us is there is no time spent for doubting. There is no time of doubt here. The command is done, the job is performed, the water became wine. There is no time taken to question it, no time taken to doubt about it. There was nothing like that happened. So the faith is something that we must have just like that. Just like that. Immediately believe, there's no questioning. Where you have the faith of a child, you just do as soon as the Lord tells you, this thing will happen. See, this is what Jesus talked about many times. If you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can move that mountain which is in front of you. No, Jesus is not talking about move this Mount Moriah or move the Mount Zion or move the Mount Everest. That's not what Jesus is mentioning here. What Jesus is mentioning here, most your difficult problem in standing in front of you can be moved by just your faith. If you have not spent time in doubting, if you just obey immediately, the diseases will be healed, the difficult circumstances will be removed, problems will be solved, God will give you an easy path, an easy passage. Your things will be done. If you believe, you will be happening. Faith is the thing that makes things happen. Your faith, it is the biggest issue or small issue, the faith will make it happen. Now, my question as a minister of the gospel, I wonder, like, how in the world, how is this thing happening? How does Jesus made this happen? Jesus didn't touch it. He didn't command it. All he said is commanded to pour the water and fill the water in those pots. And it was done. So the miracle the miracle of making something from something to something or something from nothing is all in the hand of God. Only God can do that. We cannot do that. God did not give us that power. God did not give us the power to create something from nothing. You know, people can create something from something. If you have some iron, you can melt it, make it strong and purify like a steel, make it steel. And if you are a blacksmith, you can hammer it and melt it again, hammer it and shape it and make a knife, you know, a machete or a sword or whatever you want to do with that. But where is the iron you used from what God has created? From God created. You know, someday someone said a joke like this, a scientist went to God and told him, tell, I can also make things like you. And the Lord said, God said, go and make something and bring it to me. He went and made something from some clay or some other dust, dirt material. And he formed a shape and something, and he brought it to God. And God said, and he said, listen, see, this is how I made this. God said, how did you make it? Well, I made it from the clay. Where did you find the clay? Well, it is right here in this area where I went and got it. Well, you know what? Number one, you got to make your own clay. That's my clay. This everything is created by me. All the world, everything, the atoms, the particles, the elements, everything is my creation. See, no one can overpass the power of God. God's power is beyond everyone's power. Here Jesus proved that he is the creator. He is the only one who can change a water to a wine. He is the only one who can heal the sick. He is the only one who has the power over the laws of the universe. Because he is the law. He created the law. He established the world. He established them over the waters. The earth surrounding by water, and two-thirds part of this earth completely surrounded by water. And how in the world the land called the earth land is in the middle of these waters. And the water is surrounded the earth. Praise God. So this is what a miracle, what a wonder the universe is created. Like I was most fascinated about the universe. I sometimes look up the science and discoveries and new things happening. You know, the distance between earth and sun, 93 million miles, praise God, amen. And each of the planets have its own distance between the sun to them, which measures that distance measured, and then with each of its gravitational force between the sun and that planet is calculated, and it is adjusted with the distance so that the sun cannot pull it and burn it out completely. So the distance and the gravitational force of each of them keep them in the positions where they are. And there are more other signs involved in the each of the planets. The forces of is rotation, is gravity, and centrifugal force, the circumferential force. There are so many things, science involved in where the planets are traveling in their own path, that they are not colliding with another planet. There is a distance adjusted between the sun and each of the planets on our galaxy. So the distance between the planets and the sun, which is providing the sun, who is providing the energy to all the planets, all the way unto Uranus, Neptune, and the last one called Pluto, man, is a small guy. They degraded him as not a planet. But even unto Pluto, amen, there is a gravitational, there is a electromagnetic field, and the force, the power of sun reaches all the way at that point. I do have the math and the distances written down about in a presentation for the planetarium, the planets and between sun and planets between planets, and the days and hours it takes to rotate the sun one time, and the time the sun need to rotate the universe of ours. Amen. And there are so many interesting things about science. Now, who made all this? Our Lord God. In the book of Hebrews and the book of John, Gospel 1, like a lot of people take this as a very silly, simple thing. If you read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 onwards, it will say, in the beginning was the Word. W-O-R-D, Word, is standing for the scripture spoken by God. Or a person, like a person who become a human or a fleshy nature afterwards, as you continue read. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, He was with God. Now the Word is a person. In verse 2, the Word became a He. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, I will not read all of it, but I will read one more verse, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made the dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from Father, full of grace and truth. See, we don't need a more explanation here on verse 14. The Word which was in the beginning, who was with God, and He became the flesh. I just spoke about how Mary received this Word in her, and who became flesh and became human, and He lived among us. And Isaiah prophesied, when he was speaking, the glory of the God will be shown to every man. This is the glory of God. Christ is the glory. Christ, He is created everything. In verse 3, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was been made. So the creator of the universe is the Word, which is the one became flesh. The one is called Christ Jesus. You see, the word Jesus is very irritating for some people. Why is Jesus God? The problem is, Jesus, all it means is Savior. It says English, the Greek version of the Messiah, which is Jesus. It is Mashiach in the Hebrew. So Joshua, Yeshua, Mashiach, which is the position name for the Messiah, or the Mashiach is the position name. For example, see, if I say I am a doctor, that's my position. But my name is Joseph, let's say Joseph. That's my real name. The same way, Jesus is the real name, and He is the Messiah, which is His position, or His Savior. So Joshua is same as Joshua, which means in its all meaning is Savior. So Savior is all which was spoken in the Old Testament as Joshua or Joshua, and it is translated as Jesus. In the Hebrew Bible, in the Hebrew Aramaic Bible, it says Yeshua. But the Hebrew Bible is there, but a lot of the Jewish people are offended by Jesus. They did not accept Him. But all these proofs I am going through from the beginning of time, Genesis 3:15 to Isaiah 7:14, to His birth, His exile to Egypt, I spoken about it last couple of times, exiled to Egypt, returned from Egypt, being called as Nazarene, you know, living in Nazareth. His name became Nazarene. The historical reason why his name became Nazarene, all this was prophesied before. The murdering of children of age 2 and under at Jesus' age at the time he was born was also a prophecy. And then all the things happened. John the Baptist came is a prophecy by God through Isaiah again. Now his ministry is also prophesied in Isaiah 61. So in order to understand, the word became flesh. This word, what is this word? See, I have studied one of the great biblical theologian called William Barclay. William Barclay was a Scottish theologian. He studied Greek, he studied Hebrew, he studied Aramaic, which is the pre-Hebrew, which is the language Jesus spoke at the time when Jewish people, ordinary people spoke, is Aramaic, right? And he has a knowledge of English and Greek and all these languages. For this theologian scholar studied the different languages, how the Bible was originally written. The New Testament, as we know, was written in the Greek language, because Greek was the language of the time Alexander the Great invaded, you know, these nations, Africa, I mean, and Eastern countries, Middle East, and Asia. So, and he had the invested time in putting Greek scholars to teach, you know. And so we know that Alexandria was the capital of this language and history and teaching. Now, what happened? People know Greek. That was the written language of the time, which was today English is internationally spoken in many countries. You know, they say French is the most spoken language today. Then, you know, sometimes we think it is Spanish, but they said it was French. Majority African countries, they speak French. So, saying, here, Christ, where is the word came from, translated in English as word, that William Barclay says in Aramaic language, the word is called memra, M-E-M-R-A, memra, in English if you say. Memra means the word. But in English, it was translated as word, W-O-R-D. The word is same as the word you speak. But the word mentioned here is the God's powerful word, the scripture. Praise the Lord. So when John the Apostle spoke to the Jewish people, who were at the time of first century, second onwards, they were usually they were speaking Aramaic. He explained the language in Aramaic. The Jewish people understood what memra means.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKO, V like Victor, at gmail.com. That is PR dot CHACKOV at gmail.com.
Wonderful words, wonderful words.
Summer pool season is upon us. If you want your pool clear, Providence Pools is here. We offer weekly services that are reliable and affordable. Providence Pools, serving St. Lucie County. For a free estimate, we can be reached at 772-971-9570.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families